The title of my message is very easy to remember. Hold on, baby. Okay, so you'll never forget the title, Hold On, Baby. And, you know, we are sons of God. Whether you're a lady or a man, we are sons of God. All right? And our sonship, you can't just have it one day, lose it the next, come back to the Lord, have it our sonship again, lose it because you did this, have it again. You get saved and your spirit get born again from heaven. God touched that spirit of yours and it becomes alive. And it doesn't die, it becomes alive. You become a son. Okay. In 1977, I lost my son Travis for 45 minutes. He's 2-3 years old. And she said, well, you go to the beer store. That was before I got saved. And take him with you. So I took him with me, and I lost him at the beer store, at all place. And for 45 minutes, my life stopped. And I feel if somebody says you lost your kid for a certain amount of time, and it happened to my other son, he just said that. And then we found him again. While he was lost, he was still my son. Now, in 1998, he walked away from God. He walked away from God. I was still his father. God was still his father. And then a few years later, he comes back to the fold. I'm still his father. God is still his father. Now, if you're praying for your loved one, you have to remember one thing. If they have committed their life to Christ, their spirit is alive. Might be looking dead, like there's nobody home, no light. But they made that commitment, and somehow the spirit, and you know, they have to deal with that because God will deal with them in his own way. And you know, sometimes they have under conviction or whatever happened, God is moving in them, and it's a bad place to be. Isn't that true, Travis, when you were serving the devil? Bad place to be. So, if you haven't gone to serve the devil, don't go, yes. Take it from the pro. Okay. So, I just want to say that, because if you're sitting here and you committed your life to Christ, you are his child. It may not look good in your life right now, but that's okay. He's there. And he's got you in the palm of his hand. And no matter what, he's going to hold you until you turn your soul back to him. So I want to read Genesis 25. So that's what God turned my heart towards this morning, is Genesis 25. We're going to spend a little bit of time there, and then we're going to have communion. And it's the story of Rebecca. I remember she had twins. She had twins. She had two boys. Now, maybe you're sitting here in the room and you're going to have twin, right? No? Nobody? The oldest people say no. So we're going to start at verse 20. And stay with me because I want to draw. You know, you can draw a parallel about things. And that's what God's. That's why we got the Old Testament, so we can draw a parallel about our lives today. So, God promised Abraham a son. He waited till he was 99 to give him a son. Boy, God, why don't you do things a little quicker, right? And maybe God promised something to you and it's been 20 years, 25 years, whatever. Now Isaac come along and he was, verse 20, he was 40 years old when he took Rebekah as his wife. 40. The daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of, Okay, verse 21. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife. You know, and I was sharing with my wife, when you go to court, you plead your case why you should have whatever, either freedom or whatever. So Isaac, as the man of God that he is, he's pleading with God. God, where are you? You know, it's been 20 years now. He had his child at 60, so from 40 to 60, it doesn't say when, but he's pleading with God. You promised me a child. You promised my father that he'll have, you know, as many children as the star and the sand. And there he was, 60 years old. 60 years old. Wow. Wow. Oh, I'm not going to come here too much. 60 years old. And his wife was 40. And he pleaded with God. Sometime you have to plead with God. I know we plead the blood of Jesus and we don't really know what it means. But pleading with God is getting on your face before him and say, listen, God, I am serious here. What is happening? You promised this. And this, you know, moan and groan and cry and then God may speak to you. We forget that part. In the oldest day, they used to groan before God, moan before God. God! Do something! I can't breathe or whatever. And God would answer prayer. Sometime you have to do that. Maybe for your kids, maybe for your whole life, maybe something is happening in your life. You've got to plead before God. But anyway, he said here, I like what he said, and the Lord granted his plead. The Lord granted his plead. The Lord will grant it your answer. May take you a little while. Don't give up. He did. But the children struggle together. Oh, wait a minute. And his wife conceived. You know, sometimes you cry to God. You moan before him. You pray. You get on your face. It takes time, and it happened. Other time, it just happened. He just goes before you. 3 weeks ago, we were in Barrie, and I meant to tell you that. I forgot before. I was with Leonard and Sylvia, and we went to a convention. Well, you're going to say, is that how you do, Pastor, go to convention? You just come back from one? It was only one day. So when we got to the place, it's like it's a horseshoe valley. You know, they have top unit, bottom unit. So I go to get my key, and I get my key, and they're running around. There's three people. Running around. She's dead. She's dead. What are we going to do? Well, somebody's there doing, psh, psh. What do you call that? CPR. I stayed there about 10 minutes because they said, sir, you got to wait. So there was nobody, no ambulance right there. There was nothing. I said, how old is the lady? She's 25, 30. Blonde hair lady, right? I said, okay. So I wait. So they're doing CPR in that place. So finally they give me the key. Say, okay, sir, thank you for holding. There's your key. There's 10, 15 minutes gone by. They were still pumping on her, the CPR. So I said, where's that room, by the way? Oh, she said it's underneath where the lady just died. Ooh, okay. You want to change it? I said, no, that's okay. Forget it. So we go over there and we get in the car. By that time, we can't get out of the car. Now the ambulance come in. Not the ambulance, the fire truck. Fire truck are pretty quick, right? and the fire guy and all that stuff, and they're working on her. Half an hour gone by. So I said to them in the car, I said, you better pray here. Well, at the beginning, let's pray because something has happened. And we see them pumping her because it was kind of right level. So, oh yeah, we just come from watching War Room. So we didn't have time to write a prayer request and go put it in the wall. They wouldn't let it go in the room. But, you know, we just felt like, hey, that's not right, you know. I mean, you come for one day night's sleep and somebody dies on top of you. So we prayed. And then all of a sudden, half an hour later, the police guy walks by the car. He says to the other guy, he said, I don't know what happened. She just sat down. She just sat down. And she started talking to us. Huh? She sat up. Okay, she sat up. And then she walked downstairs. And she was gone. No breathing. There was nothing for 30 minutes. So we didn't have to do a lot of movement here. We just pray silently for her. And God does something. Sometimes you got to hold on for a lifetime before you see the answer. Other time, God just does it. But I find the nicest thing that happened with God is when I was telling Bill this morning, is when you don't expect it. You're just walking at your daily life and something happened. You don't expect nothing. And bang, there's a situation in front of you. You have to stand up or whatever it is. So God is with us. And he'll move. So that's what happened there. But the children, verse 22, struggled together with her. And she said, it's all is well. Why am I like this? So she went to inquire of the Lord. There you go. The man went to inquire of God. He pleaded before God. There was an answer. Now there's a problem. The woman goes to God to inquire. All I'm saying to you, it's okay to go to God, to plead, to inquire, to ask questions, you know, so that you get an answer. Too many times it's too easy to open the internet and say, why this is not happening? So you flip there and, oh, you got 1,000 different pages and you look there. Blah, blah, blah. You don't go to God. And we don't inquire of God. He will tell us, because he's our dad. He's not going to hold any answer to you if you really want that answer. So this, what happened here is, and the Lord said to her, verse 23, two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separate from your body. The one shall be stronger than the other. And the other, older, shall serve the younger. Now, no wonder she was having movement in her stomach and she knew something was wrong. The kids were fighting inside. Isn't that what it sounds like? And they were both fighting, but God said to her, the older will be under submission to the younger. I want you to remember that, because I'm talking today about your mind and I'm talking about your spirit, your reborn spirit has to be over your mind, because the mind will go so many places and we'll be talking about the mind. Did you get that picture? You didn't get that picture. We had a problem with the technical thing. Are you glad we got the word? So, okay. So when her days were fulfilled for her, she gave birth. Indeed, there were twin in her womb. Twin, like God had said. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. I don't know. That's what the Bible says. I guess he was a red hair, hairy kid, right? So they called him Esau. After that, his brother came out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel. That's where I got my text, "Hold on, baby." Because he's the younger. He's following the first one. Maybe it's just a couple of minutes, but he came out first. So he's the one with all the blessing. And if you're going to look at the Hebrew rules about the blessing and the younger one, the one who came first is the one with all the blessing. But God had something in plan. That's not my plan. He said to her before she had the kids, the younger will have the blessing. Because the younger one was coming out and he was holding on to the leg of the other one. He said, "No way, baby. You are not going to steal my blessing." And I'm drawing a parallel there because sometimes your mind goes a certain way and your mind's going to rob you from your blessing from God. How many understand that? Did you know that your mind is older than your spirit, reborn spirit? If you got saved 20 years ago, your spirit became new. Okay? But then you're already 20 years old. You're 25 now, so 5 years. So see, our spirit is only 5 years old, but she was born in the flesh 25 years ago, right? Do the math. Thank you. An old thing, yeah. So he came out. After his brother came out and his hand hold on to the Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years when she bore them. So the boy grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man, and he dwelt in tent. The one who came out first was a hunter. He was daddy's boy, right? He probably took him hockey and do all those things with the boys, right? But the second one was a mama's boy. He stayed in the tent, probably did some cooking or whatever. He's just kind of different. How many knows two kids can be way different? Three can be very different. Now, but I feel today, as I share this, there might have been something with a younger brother, younger sister. Maybe the older had everything. The older was the smart one. The older, did everything right, the older one. And you were underneath that. And you were the younger, and you just never did nothing right. And I think God wants to heal that. So that when you stand in life, you stand with the blessing. And you forget about your brother, whether he's better than you, or it has nothing to do with who's the holder, who's the youngest. Like I've got three boys, and the three of them are smart. That's what I always say. They're all smart. I don't say nothing else. Period. Okay? Right. So Esau was a skillful hunter, a man in the field, but Jacob was a wild man. Okay, I just want to talk about the mind a little bit. The mind controls the body. You know that. But God made it so that your spirit controls your mind, and your mind controls your body. And it's like I got a phone. I just took it this morning. How many got a phone like this or similar? Maybe you got an iPhone or something. Okay, so in this you see all these file box. That's what they told me. Because I saw a guy there at the end. He said, "Man, it looks like you're going everywhere." And he's pulling things here, he's pulling things. And in all those box, there is things that had been put there. Could be information. It could be all kinds of stuff. So since it was created, since you got it, you start putting things in. And if I take your phone away from you, some of you won't know what to do. Because you got all your phone number, you've got all your password, you got all your whatever you have in there. So really, the mind is really good. What the mind does, okay, since you were born, it's kind of like this. It picks up everything that went through your sense. Smell, your hearing, everything people said to you heard, your mouth, your eyes, your touch. Everything has been filed into a filing cabinet. Your head is full of filing cabinet. It's true. Now, some of us are not as quick to pick stuff up, right? Because we met a guy over there at, and he was saying, he said, out of all the things I ever lost, he said, I missed my mind the most. Amen. Yeah? Okay. So it doesn't matter if you're not so quick to pick it up. It's all there. Some of the things in here, it may stay there for 2 years before I touch. And your mind, everything, the bad thing that happened in your life, what people said about you, how you felt, everything is in file everywhere, everywhere and everywhere. And sometimes you make decision with those files. What happened to you when you were 3? And you still remember? I mean, if you pass before a 3 outside, the 3 reminds you of this. It picks it up in a file. In a mill of a second, it's better than any computer. Faster, it would take something. That's why people get lost for thought. Because they will look at, it could look at anything. It could look at the mic, could look at the stand, and it reminds them. The mind automatically picks up a file, brings it to. Well, you're working, and then you get a lustful thought. Where does that come from? Your mind brought it to you because it saw something that reminded you of something. So you can imagine how your mind has so much to do. But we are not to be led by the mind, but we are led to be by the Spirit of God because we are sons of God. And that's not easy to do, so how do you do that? Well, obviously, the Word of God is what's going to change us. It's going to change our mind. Now, I might say, for example, I go out and I meet Lorraine and Ron. Rod? Lorraine and Rod. And I'm with my wife, and my wife says to me, oh, there's Lorraine and there's Rod. They come to our group or something, and I said, hey, nice to meet you. Yeah. And I walk away with my wife, and I say, I don't like that guy. And she says to me, well, why don't you like that guy? Because when I first seen that guy, it's not true. My mind went in 365 file. And looked at all the men that looked like him and wear a yellow sweater, right? And wore glass and the same height. And then it automatically brings it down to about 25 that's really, really similar situation. And then it'll bring it down to 2 or 3 that's the one. That's the one who pulled my pants when I was young. By that I mean, you did something to me. My uncle used to do that when we were 5 or 6 years old. We hated him. We walked in the house with our pajama and we just pull our pants down. All I'm saying, those thoughts are in my head. Everything is, that's why when you're dreaming, you're sleeping, your file box is open. All these files, and your mind is firing dark. picking up here. You're running. And then you fall down a mile down in a hole and you're okay, but something chases you. And then you grab a knife and you're going to chase him. And then you see your mother-in-law in the corner. Then you're going to chase her. And it doesn't make any sense, but your mind is firing all the time. So in the day when you're awake, sometimes your mind will fire different things. That doesn't mean it's right. That's when we got to start saying, God, I don't want to be led by my mind. Mine will fool you. I mean, sometimes it's okay because the mind, see, God created our spirit to relate to him. Our spirit relates to him. Our spirit gets born again. Now he wants to contact with our spirit. Our mind wants to contact God and wants to contact the world. The world is okay. The world was created for us. All the creation. And our body, all they want to do is contact the creation. So you see it unless your spirit is alive, connected to God, reading the word, seeing, you know, like she went before God and God spoke to her. We go before God and God speaks to us. Amen? So I got a lot of stuff here, but one thing I want to say, if you can write that down, it's good. Is in your spirit, there's a finished work of grace. Okay? Because when the Bible talks about being in Christ, you are in Christ. You're dead, right? It's talking about the spirit. Your spirit, there is a finished works of grace. And you have to understand that because this is where, see, that's where the grace message lose it because they don't know if they're talking about the spirit or they're talking about the mind. Because the soul, which is the intellect, okay, it's the intellect, the will, and emotion. Those three form the soul. The soul is a progressive works of grace. Understand that. Your spirit is finished works of grace. Your soul, which is all this, is in progress. It's working towards its salvation. Your spirit is saved, but your soul isn't saved. It has to get saved. So there's a scripture that I want to share here. Hebrews 10, verse 39. We are those who believe in the saving of the soul. Saving of the soul. Meaning your soul has to be saved during your life. Meaning, okay? So in many places in the Word of God, you can see this talking about the saving of the soul. You say, what are you talking about? I am saved. Yes, your spirit is saved. Your spirit is finished as far as grace is concerned. But your soul is still working towards it. So are you holy yet? Your spirit is. God says, be ye holy as I am holy. Talking about your soul. There's a work of grace progressive in your soul, in your mind to become holy because sometimes you get taught or maybe you want to beat up somebody or you know it's not from God. It's just revenge. It's all from the mind. The mind is working and firing at you all the time. And all of a sudden you say no. God's word says, I must love this brother of mine. I got to turn the other cheek. Right, Larry? That was a hard one for you to learn. Turn the other cheek because I'm listening to God. He speaks to my spirit and I'm alive and I do the things that please my Father. So your soul is working always to be saved. Okay? So, I don't have much time. So the soul has to be weaned And I had a scripture about that, about winning a child. You know, when you win a child, what they do? They cry and they kick and all that stuff. So when you want to win your mind to the Word of God, somebody is going to scream and kick. And you know what I mean? It's going to be your mind. Your mind's going to say, no, my buddy wants to do this. I want to go there. No, right? I'm going to bypass this. Jesus says in Matthew 16, verse 24, I shared that before, pick up your cross and follow me. And in Luke, I believe it's 9, he says, pick up your cross daily and follow me. Pick up your cross daily and follow me. Paul says, I die every week, daily. What he means, it's not physical. It's the mind that wants to take control all the time. It's not the body. The body will do what the mind tells it. So the mind has to be controlled by the spirit. That is, we're done. Or what's the word? Born again? Okay. So I want you to stand up this morning. I got so much more in here, but I can't say it. Doesn't matter. But I want you to understand that your soul is still at work. All right? And now I think maybe you understand more about God can use dream and he can fire stuff that is from him, and that's okay. But this morning I was dreaming. I don't dream very often. And it's funny because I was thinking about dreaming last night, and I forget what I was chasing something or whatever I was doing. Oh, no, I saw a dog standing beside a bike. And I told my wife, he's waiting for his master. And it was late at night, so I figured the dog would be standing there for all night. Has nothing to do with me. Has nothing to do with the Word of God. It's just my mind was firing stuff. And then something else happened. So let's be in control of our mind. Now, the only way to do that, just take the Word of God, and I was going to share about Hebrew 4, verse 12. You know that the Word of God is like a sword that's dividing between the soul and the spirit. It'll cut between the two, between the soul and the body, and right to the core, to the place where the blood is made. The Word of God. So sometime we're going to have to shut down the electronic and take up our Bible and say, God, I come before you. You know, I'm guilty of it the same as you are. I don't spend 2 hours a day on Facebook. And I'm sorry if you do, but if I were to spend 2 hours before God every day, maybe not on doing stuff or whatever that, you know, you want to look at the news, you want to see what's happening, blah, blah, it's all over the place. You know, there's so much unbelief into this world, it's crazy. Very hard to get faith anymore because it just comes from everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. So the things you've got to do is pick up your word, not your electronic. Pick up your word, your Bible, turn the page and say, God, thank you that I can spend time with you. Renew my mind. My mind has to be renewed in the word. Yes, you may get some thought here and there, but eventually it will cease. It will cease because now your brain is going to be firing scripture and it's going to be firing things and it's going to be firing because the file is full of that. So whatever your file is full of it, that's where your mind is going to be firing. Okay? So I'm looking at myself and I'm looking at you guys. What I'm saying is pick up the word, read the word, meditate on the word, and God will make your way prosper. Not true? It says it right there.